This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Talk Show. Today, we're going to be talking about 10 Catholic things you should have.
That's right. If you're a Catholic, these are things that you should have in your house, carry with you, and know about. And we're going to share them with you today.
First and foremost, you've got to carry one of these.
Go, guys. Good to be in the studio with you, and definitely excited about this show today.
You know, one thing that is for sure, you know, I said you have to have one of these, and that is a cross. For those of you who are listening in on our podcast forums, we're all over the place. But if you're not watching on YouTube, go to YouTube, click the subscribe button, click the little bell so you can't miss any of our content. I showed a cross. And the reason why I said that is because our lives are conformed to the mystery of the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the sign of the cross is made over our heads, over our person at baptism. And it's something that I always keep by my bedside. And I just absolutely love the cross.
Yeah, and I think that's number one on the list. And really, I would say that more specifically, a crucifix. Right? A lot of Protestants will have a cross, you know, a plain wooden cross. And those are fine, too. But, you know, as Catholics, we specifically have crucifixes for a reason. And the difference is, typically, a crucifix will have the corpus on it, which is the actual, you know, an image of our Lord crucified. And if you look at what St. Paul says in the Bible is that we worship Christ crucified. You know, and a lot of times Protestants will say, well, you know, you're re-crucifying Jesus by having him on a cross. No one's re-crucifying Jesus. You know, Calvary happened in a time and place. But, you know, there's a lot of power with the crucifix. I mean, it's not a coincidence that when you see, you know, horror movies, things run from the crucifix. It's a powerful symbol, and it ties us to really our salvation, which was gained for us through the cross.
So if you can't buy into having a cross from just the cross, you can watch horror movies, and those should help you to decide that a cross should be good.
Look, there's a lot of ways to get to home, you know, whatever it takes.
You know, this specific cross, you know, I have next to my bed, and it's an icon crucifixion, and it's the crucifixion scene, and it shows the sorrows of Mary, and it shows the sorrows of the beloved disciple, John, you know, at the foot of the cross. And I love iconography because it is. It's a window into the mystery of what was accomplished by Christ. And when we think about it, our sorrows and our own personal suffering shouldn't isolate us. It should really draw us into greater communion. And that's specifically what I find, you know, keeping this next to my bed. If I'm going through a rough patch or if I'm going through a season of sorrow, you know, I need to be able to have my crucifix with me. And, you know, for a while I had one that it was made out of iron, and I wound up giving it away to somebody that was suicidal. And it just really, you know, gave me a sense of consolation every time I held it. And it got that person through some really rough times.
Yeah. And I'm never not wearing a crucifix either. So, I mean, you can have, you know, the crucifix on your wall, and definitely, you know, wearing one on your person too makes a lot of sense. Look, the more the better, I think. You know, you should have one in every room of your house, if possible. If you have children, you should have one in their room. You should have one in the family room, in the hallways.
Yeah, it's the most visible way that we can access God's love.
One thing I love about retreat centers is the simplicity of the room.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have a simple twin bed. You don't have a TV. You don't have anything else in there. There may be religious, items on the wall, like pictures or paintings, and maybe, you know, a Bible book or something like that. But there's always a crucifix above the bed mm-hmm. in a Catholic retreat center. Mm-hmm. And it's like that simplicity of the room. And you look at the lives of the saints, like Padre Pio's room or Saint Junipero's room in California. It's like crucifix above the bed.
Mm-hmm. Now, number two of an item that every Catholic should have is, and that's a rosary. Mm. Look, if you're Catholic and you're not praying the rosary, start praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. Chances are you probably have one. You probably have your grandma's if you don't pray. You know, rosaries are not hard to come by, but once you start praying them, they're hard to leave, right? What rosary do you got?
In fact, I love that you just said that because I have my grandmother's rosary.
See, there you go.
And you didn't know that. We didn't talk about that.
You're going to throw this in my face again? Because we did the rosary show and I lost my great-grandmother. So.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Your poor old blind great-grandmother. Yep. She carried that crucifix with her through the persecutions on the boat to this country.
Thanks for bringing that back
up. Only to give it to you and then you lose it.
This is like deja vu.
Oh, ouch.
Well, you know, we should all pray to St. Anthony.
Yes.
For our brother Ryan Delacrosse.
Need a miracle.
And you know what? St. Anthony has worked many miracles.
Yep.
And let's pray to St. Anthony for Ryan.
All right.
And your middle name is Anthony. So maybe he's going to have some mercy and help you find that. Because it is, it's a treasure. I try not to travel with it. I try to keep it here at home. It's, you know, my birthstone, and it was my great grandmother's, passed down to my grandmother. My grandmother died with it in her hands, and I had it in her hands for her funeral service. Wow. And then I received it before Beautiful. We buried her. And, you know, the consolation of what this means to me and the legacy of faith passed down familially is powerful. But, you know, it's really praying the rosary that you receive the fruits of each mystery. And that is in a particular way, you know, like we can wear rosaries.
Don't
we can,
wear rosaries.
You know, we can, you know, and I'm not saying that we can wear rosaries, but people tend to wear rosaries. People mm-hmm. tend to carry them or put them in their car or on, like, you know, for like almost like a, you know,
like an superstitious, identifier. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a superstitious thing. Like this is going to protect me. But, you know, there's grace, like rosaries are blessed for sure. But the real grace is, my brothers and sisters, is when we pray the rosary. And when we meditate on the mysteries and really use this tool to really enter into the mystery of Christ's love for us.
Now, yeah, somebody told me one time that Mary really appreciates when we pray a rosary. And it's like the reasoning behind it is, have you ever been grateful to somebody that's asked you for help and you were able to help them?
Sure.
Like, that's how Mary feels when we ask her for her assistance and her intercession. She loves that.
She's a giver.
She's not gonna mm-hmm. force us to do it, but she mm-hmm. really loves it. So a lot of the times when I don't want to pray a rosary, I pray that just for her because she's been such an influence in my life.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah.
Now, here's another thing. It's kind of like a rosary, but I carry a rosary, but I also carry, you know, a prayer rope for the Jesus prayer, right? And it's very much like the mm-hmm. rosary. The rosary developed from this. But, you know, having these things that physically tie you to prayer and call you to prayer often mm-hmm. are very important. You know, you can go to AveRosary.com, you know, quick shout out. AveRosary.com sells all kinds of beautiful heirloom quality rosaries, or if you want to give them as a gift, they have great gift packages.
Heirloom quality rosaries. This is something we can start a tradition. You can start a tradition in your family with a rosary and have it passed on to mm-hmm. generations.
You know? Well, you know, that's what Ave Rosary does. They have really nice quality rosaries that can last a long time. But also with Ave Rosary, whenever you buy a rosary, they donate a rosary and they give it to the CFRs, and the CFRs then go and distribute these rosaries to people in need. So it's like buy one, and someone else gets one free.
Yeah, they're deep in the heart of the Bronx, mm-hmm. New Jersey, and the really poor areas of Texas, so that's a really awesome thing.
Mm-hmm. This is beautiful. I love this.
I'll get you one. That's awesome. Now, number three on the thing that every Catholic should have, and this is one that I'd say a lot of Protestants say that Catholics don't have, but that's a total fallacy. That's a Bible.
That
right?
has to be.
Right. Have a Bible. Look, I'm going to pull a little Wilford Brimley here. Read your Bible and read it often, all right?
Yes.
It's like your blood sugar. Right?
Yes.
So, you know, all of these things that we've been orienting to right now, you know, are about contemplation, right? Yeah. We're contemplating Christ crucified. We're contemplating the mysteries of the history of salvation through the rosary. The Bible is a way for us to contemplate the Word of God through the second person of the Trinity, Logos, right? And having that Bible and reading it often, you know, everyone went to, you know, Sunday school or Catholic school, and they remember the basic stories, but there's so much more than that. And reading the Bible frequently and reading it as books, right? I'm like, I'm going to read Nehemiah, or I'm going to read Ezra, or I'm going to read, you know, Colossians or whatever.
I just returned to the book of Genesis and I read the life of Joseph. And, you know, I think it was starting at chapter 37. But man, I mean, how many times have I read that? How many times have I watched a movie on that or like a cartoon back in the day? Mm-hmm. You know, but to return to it, so much more came out of it. Mm-hmm. And it really realigned myself with God. And he spoke to me very, very clearly. And to realize that, like, God wishes to speak inspiration into your life. And there's no more perfect way than the Word of God in the Bible.
It pierces your heart. It takes root inside mm-hmm. of you. You mm-hmm. know, it really does.
You know, here's another thing to think about. When you have a Bible near you and you often go to read it, how many of you have Netflix or HBO Max or whatever, and you've rewatched, I don't know, The Sopranos or Mad Men or Walking Dead or whatever. You rewatch these series that you've watched before and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, I didn't remember that the first time. And you kind of get re-excited about that series. I mean, the Bible's the same way. You can really reintroduce yourself to things that are probably floating around in your head somewhere.
Yeah.
But it makes it new again. It mm-hmm. really breathes new life into it. And there is almost never a time that you can't open the Bible to a random page, read for 5 minutes and be like, wow, mm-hmm. that just hit me. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I need. So mm-hmm. if you haven't read your Bible, just open it up. Go to a random page. Trust the Holy Spirit and start reading. There's something there for mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. There's a common theme here. It's 10 things you should have and use.
Yeah, and that's just the having. Most perfect point.
Good
perfect point. Yeah. It's not just having them and possessing them. It's using them.
Because Catholics are really good at possessing
yes,
them.
Yes, it's true. That's true. Yeah. Very, very true. Like the family Bible that's just like dust covered, you know?
That's me. Sorry, Father Remick. You gave that to me.
You know, a good thing to mention is the family Bible. That should be something that you should use. You should be recording your dates and important events in your life in a family Bible. And according to law, if you have something recorded in your family Bible,
that's right.
that actually stands up in a court of law mm-hmm. as
what? That's civil, not just canon law. Like this
American
is civil.
Law.
Yeah, this is civil American law. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you recorded a baptism or a death or, you know,
Richard owes me money.
Sounds like my aunt.
I'm sure you owe him money for breaking his
stuff. My grandfather's
all the time.
Sister was like that, recording everything in her bowl. Oh, boy.
That's cool, man.
You know, I did some research on my family history and I got all the way back to the first Shields that came to America. Now, I kind of tend more towards the Russ side of my family, right? But the Shields, I found them, and it's like back in like the 1850s. And the first record of the Shields in America, there was 8 sons of John Shiel who came from Austria, Germany. And it was all 8 of his kids fighting over the $300 he had when he died.
That's what you saw.
That's what I saw.
That's
just,
so funny.
We've just been a bunch of quarrelsome jerks since the beginning.
Hey, $300 was a lot of money back then.
I you know, but 8 of them, they're all fighting. They're all countersuing each other. I'm like, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, gosh.
That was the crazy thing about the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. It's just like that sibling rivalry mm-hmm. and how Reuben was like trying to throw
classic
in. Like,
Reuben.
I mean.
Let's cut that out.
I love that, man. But that's, you know, that's the reason why we need to open up the Bible. That's the reason why we need to learn these stories. It really directly influences how we treat our siblings, mm-hmm. how we treat our family members, how we treat one another, you know, and to really live out the values that come to us from the Bible.
Now, an important note on Bibles, there are specific Bibles that mm-hmm. a Catholic should have.
That's right.
Don't have a King James Bible. Don't have the NIV or the Gideons. I mean, if you have them, they're fine. Give them to your Protestant friends as gifts. Great.
Yeah.
But, you know, a Catholic, there's a list of approved Bibles. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the RSV.
New American.
The New American Revised Edition. Mm-hmm. The New Jerusalem. Yeah. The Vulgate, if you can read Latin. The Douay-Rheims or the Douay-Chaloner, right? What are some of the ones you like? The
my favorite is the Jerusalem Bible.
Jerusalem Bible,
and then I use the New Jerusalem Bible, and you'll see that with all of my, like, you know, my highlights and my notes and
commentary.
You
look like Charlie Day trying to work out a conspiracy with that Bible.
Yeah, I've got sketches in here and all sorts of stuff. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you want to get a study Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, you want commentary. You want footnotes. You want to underline passages that really speak to you. You want to highlight things that speak to you. And when you go back and you're like, oh man, I remember when I read that scripture, I was in that place, and it really spoke to me. And it's very nostalgic, you know. And so definitely use your Bible. My favorite translation is most definitely the Jerusalem Bible. But you know, like the Grail, the new, the NRSV, the RSV, the NABRE, like all of these different acronyms, but you know, definitely go to the USCCB website. They give you, you know, all of the approved translations. I'm sure Sheila will put it in the show notes for you. So if you want to check out those show notes, go to CatholicTalkShow.com, and for this episode, it will be right there in the show notes.
On that page also, I'll make sure that for all of these 10 things that we mentioned, we'll put a recommendation and a link to where you can get one if you don't already have one.
Excellent.
You know, through resources that we trust and people that we know will get you quality things. Mm-hmm.
And to our really the people who follow us on social media, you know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you know, on YouTube, you know, people leaving us comments and subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you subscribe on our platforms. If you're commuting a lot and you just want to listen in, go to CatholicTalkShow.com. There you'll see every way that you could, you know, listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, you know, Google Play. There's so many things that we're on Podbean. We're on all sorts of forums. So make sure you're checking in on us. And, you know, I have to say to our listeners right now, you know, I was reading through, I had a few moments the other night, and I was reading through like comments, and, you know, people have expressed how grateful they are that they've really come to the Catholic, like, understanding of the Catholic faith, you know, through our show. And they've really been putting into practice, you know, living out their Catholic faith for the first time in their life. And that really just, it touches my heart. I feel completely, you know, like, I don't know how that's possible, but like it's happening. And by God's grace, like, thanks be to God that we can do this and we could share the passion of our faith in these beautiful religious articles that are meant to be used as tools for us to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And shout out to all the people from all over who listen to us. It's not just the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Philippines, we have so many listeners there, and Romania and Greece and throughout the Middle East, mm-hmm. and like, you know, Abu Dhabi and Qatar and in Africa, we have a lot of listeners. So it's really kind of humbling.
It is.
That there's so many people listening to us three jackwagons talk about our faith, you know?
But so love out to all of you, man. Yeah. Just love and prayers, and continue to hold us up in love and prayers. And we really would be remiss if we didn't express our gratitude to our patrons. You know, without their financial support, we wouldn't be able to do this every week. So if you're considering becoming a financial contributor to the show, go to patreon.com/Catholic Talk Show, or you could go to our website, CatholicTalkShow.com/Patreon. And we've got some cool content and some other things that may not be on this list, like a Catholic Talk Show hoodie. I mean, that's kind of a really cool
thing.
You
just
to have.
Gave away. That was number 11. That was the bonus. All right. So number 4 on the list of things that every Catholic should have is holy water, right? Now, we've done episodes on holy water. You know, you can check that out. But holy water is a sacramental, and it's a great way to, number one, bless yourself with a powerful sacramental, but it also ties you to, and should tie you to, remember your baptism. Mm-hmm. Your baptism, and Ryan, you spoke about baptism, about how it's such a uniquely more powerful way that God has given us grace than even in the Garden of Eden the fall. And I was really moved by that. I've been thinking about that recently. But, you know, your baptism is that's your conversion. That is you getting... Mary was born with the Immaculate Conception without original sin. And there's huge feast days for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and, you know, Jesui Immaculata, right? I mean, but when you get baptized, you're immaculate too. I mean, you have that same grace through baptism that Mary got through the Immaculate Conception, and people short sell their own baptism. Your own baptism is as powerful to your soul as the Immaculate Conception.
Made
That's
clean.
Huge. Mm-hmm. And holy water ties you to that every day and lets you renew the vows and the promises of your baptism.
Yeah, especially now since they've taken holy water out of churches. Yeah, let's put, you know, go get some, get it blessed, and put it in your house.
And most of your churches, you know, your priest is happy to bless, you know, holy water. So even if they're currently under restrictions by diocesan, you know, encouragement.
By the heavy hand of the bishops.
I was at church last night, and I, for the first time in years in a church, blessed myself with holy water. Mm-hmm. So that was really awesome.
And there's you know, the dispensers, you know, like there's a lot of dispensers are full for you to fill up your holy water too.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of the bishops and the concerns of different pastors are that, you know, they don't want people dipping and then, you know, whatever, but
you can get it if you want it.
You can still get it.
Too, kind of in line with this, is getting a font for your house.
Yeah.
I put mine up about 5.5 feet up so my kids don't, you know, hang on it and rip it off the wall. But right when you come in, I've got a font there and a little sponge and fill it up every now and then.
That's excellent. Yeah, absolutely. That is excellent. You know, when we consider the importance of holy water in our use daily as Catholics, to realize that we have the ability to have these holy water fonts in our house. We have the authority to use holy water and bless our rooms, bless ourselves, and recall the fruits of baptism. You know, when you were sharing, Sheil, it brought to memory this conversation that I was having with somebody in the evangelical circles. You know, I've been doing these, you know, interdenominational gatherings and meeting with different people. But I was really struck because there was a Catholic who throughout college went and started participating in evangelical circles and gatherings. And it was in this big social setting. And now I had married this guy.
Congratulations. And
I received their vows. There, let me just say that. They entered into the sacrament of marriage because they are the...
Let me know where you're registered. I'll send
you're so bad, dude. You're so bad. So anyway, like I'm sitting there and you know, this guy's received baptism, first Holy Communion, confirmation. And this gentleman was like, yeah, I discipled so-and-so and I brought them to Christ. And I'm like, no, you didn't, bro. Mm-hmm. Like his mother and father and godparents brought him to Jesus Christ. They brought him to baptism.
Yeah.
You know, they brought him to church and to receive first Holy Communion, to receive confirmation where the bishop anointed him. Traditions that are based in the Bible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, bro, like, I'm sure that you have had influence to him, like, living out more courageously biblical values and having testimony to the name of Jesus. Like, no doubt. I'll say, you know, well done, but don't take more of the... prideful stance of
that, you know, sounds like grounds for divorce.
Oh my gosh.
But one of the comments recently, like, I want to hear you guys laugh more. I wasn't expecting this one.
So we did a whole show on it. If you're listening, we did a whole show. Hopefully we can put it up there.
You're listening. He's talking to them. If you're listening.
I'm not much of a production.
Oh, yes, you are.
Well, I was saying, if you're listening, go to YouTube and put the link up there
for the Holy Water episode.
Yeah,
that was a great episode.
It was a very popular episode. So we did a whole show on holy water, which was fascinating. So, you know, we didn't do one on the crucifix, so I figured, you know, we'd throw that out.
Well, we did, actually.
I love
did
this.
We really? Yeah, we did. So I'll put that link up there, too. Okay. Now... this kind of ties into what you were talking about with your husband.
Would you stop?
So sorry.
Kyle, cut this.
Don't cut this, Kyle. As a Catholic, you should really have a copy of your baptismal certificate, right? There are so many times in the life of the church where you're going to need that. And it's like your social security card, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like... oh, I know exactly where it's. I'm going to put it right where I'll remember it. And then when you actually need it to go get like a new license or something, you're like, oh, crap, where is it at?
Yeah.
You should have your marriage certificate, your baptismal license, you know, your certificate of confirmation, all these important documents. If you don't have them, you can call the churches and get them and have a good copy of them. Keep them all together. They're important. Mm-hmm. to have copies of, and also to, you know, use for in the life of the church.
Yeah, when I was when we were preparing for the show, I grabbed everything from the house that I have, and I said, Sheila, I don't have my baptismal certificate because it's in the safe deposit box. But, you know, most of the time when you need your baptismal certificate for like anything church related, it's always recommended that you would submit a new printed and sealed and signed baptismal document from the church of your baptism within 6 months of, say, your marriage, within 6 months of a particular event. And that, you know, that's important to realize. If you're sitting out there thinking like, I have no idea where my baptismal certificate is, you could always contact the church of your baptism and they will issue you a baptismal certificate so that you can keep it and keep it in a safe place, because it's very convenient to be able to use it for different purposes. But then also, you know, if you need to get a one dated within 6 months, you know exactly what day you were baptized on, you know where, you know who was your godparents, all the information that you need.
And that's a good important part of having your baptismal certificate in particular, is knowing the date of your baptism and celebrating that. I mean, you know, if
that's the doing part of having something,
The doing part of it. But it's also, if you are going to be somebody's sponsor in RCIA, if you're going to be somebody's godparent, right? If you're going to get married,
when you die, you need a Catholic burial,
right?
I mean, I would imagine you'd probably have to and that's provide gonna get, that, wouldn't you?
And that's going to get into the next thing, which is Father Rich.
Definitely, what you need is to have a stipulated, truly in writing and notarized, that you will to be buried in Christian burial, that you would have a Catholic funeral. And time and time again in my pastoral life, I have seen this conflict come up where, you know, the last remaining patriarch or matriarch of a family hasn't expressly, you know, in writing stated that they want a Catholic burial, that they want a Catholic funeral. And then if the children or grandchildren are not practicing the Catholic faith,
they don't know at all.
They don't know. And it's a problem. I mean, it's a big, big problem that, you know, this would certainly express legally that this is something you expressly want. And it is a right to every baptized Christian, the right to a Christian burial. It is the one exclusive right that nothing can affect by canon law.
Even suicide?
Everything. Baptized.
Yep.
So if you are baptized, you have one right, and that is a right to a Christian burial.
You know, and I would go so far, and I'm going to do this, Chloe, Johnny, when I'm dead and you're watching this video trying to remember me, if you didn't bury me Catholic, number one, I'm haunting you. Number two, I'm probably in purgatory. Thanks for that. Good job, guys. Number three, you didn't get any of my money, because that's going to be a stipulation of my will, is that, you know, no one's getting any of my stuff unless I get buried Catholic, right?
That's excellent.
Like, I mean, that's a good way to force it, because in case your kids turn out to be jerks.
Johnny may do that whole thing with the ritual, with the dancing and, you know, like all.
Hey, look, man, that's cool. Do whatever you got to do. Yeah, where they do like a.
Exactly.
What do they call it in New Orleans? Like the second line?
Yes.
If I'm alive, I'll help him plan it out. Yeah.
But yeah, put it in your will. Say, look, you guys don't get none of my stuff until that. I mean, just in case they, for some reason, end up not liking you, end up not practicing the faith, that's a way to guarantee that it happens, right? It's very important.
You certainly put a
chances are your children, if you're doing a good job, will be Catholic and want that for you. But this is a failsafe, you know? Or again, if you have maybe no heirs, maybe no children, and you die alone, and you know, your will still, you know, request that.
And just so you know, like priests, you know, many parishes offer pre-need, or to sit down with your priest and express like, you know, Father, can we prepare my funeral? That's a beautiful thing. I met with a wonderful woman, Linda Lewis. God bless her. She has lived such a heroic and beautiful life. This African-American woman that from my parish. And, you know, she and I sat down a couple of times and we went through every single detail, the music, the readings, you know, everything. Wow. And it's in her file and it's ready.
Patron saint of funeral planners. Mm. Joseph, St. Joseph of Arimathea.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, another thing, because, you know, you are going to die, right? And chances are, and hopefully not, it doesn't happen by an accident. Hopefully it's a very peaceful death surrounded by your family member and you've, you know, got a chance to get the last rites. Now, say that doesn't happen. Say that you are in an accident. You know, the medics are going to come. They're not going to know you from anyone. They're going to try to take care of your physical needs. But it's very important to have your spiritual needs taken care of in the case of an emergency. And that's why every Catholic should, and you could do this now, either carry a card or on your phone in your emergency medical health information, say, I am a Catholic. In case of emergency, request a Catholic priest, right? Medics will know and EMS will know that most people's phones, if you click it a certain way, it'll bring up your emergency health information if you fill that out on your health app. So if you have an iPhone, you go to the health app and you go to your emergency information and there's a notes section, right?
Wow.
So you can put your emergency contacts, but also say, I'm Catholic, in case of emergency, call a priest, right? Mm-hmm. Call Father Mike Schmitz. Not this one.
I used to have a crucifix that I used to wear with that on the back of the crucifix.
Yep. And you can get ones for your wallet that come like a little credit card that says, I'm Catholic, in case of emergency, call a priest. You can have it on a health ID band, right? You know, if a lot of elderly people or people with maybe medication needs.
Get a tattoo.
Get a tattoo.
That's my way of doing it.
You know, Tupac style, right? But, I mean, it's important. You know, what would happen if you are, say you're traveling somewhere and you're 1,000 miles from home, you roll your car and you're in some messed up shape. No one knows you're Catholic there. Mm-hmm. You got no family. What if it's a matter of time before you pass, right? You want to have those last rites and be ministered spiritually in those situations.
Absolutely. That's a great recommendation. And, you know, I've known about, you know, the ID bands, I've known about the chains, I've known about the things in the wallet, but that was a great idea, Sheil, about the phone. Mm-hmm. And I have not thought about that. And I think that's
I just made a note to do it after the show.
Yeah. And what I'll do again on the show, if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com, I'll put a link to an article that shows you exactly how to do that if you have an iPhone or if you have an Android device in your emergency health information to put, you know, call up a priest in case I get rolled, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is a perfect segue because there's something else that you should have on your phone.
What's that?
Halo.
He got me at my own game. Good job.
Halo is a phenomenal Catholic application for your phone. Android, iOS,
Android.
And it's a Catholic meditation app. There's readings, Lectio Divina. It's just an incredible application. I know Delacrosse has so much love for Halo.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the guy that uses
it. You're the poster guy, man.
Yeah, it's really amazing as a guy who has a software development, app development company. This is just a really great piece of technology that's very beneficial for anybody, you know, just kind of starting out or trying to reach new developments in their prayer life. I pretty much use the daily conversation with God. What is that? I use the daily conversation with God with my kids, with my wife. My wife actually started doing Lectio Divina with me because she's like, you know.
Look at that. Halo's bringing Delacrosse's together and then fortifying your marriage.
They just added the 30-day gospel challenge with Jonathan Rumi, the guy that played Jesus and was on another one of our shows. You know Father Mike Schmitz, but they have a Father Mike Schmitz Bible in a Year podcast, chanting rosaries, nightly routines.
I hear Halo's going to add Bible in 6 years with Father Pagano.
Because I definitely can't do it in a year.
Yeah, you know Schmitz, right? Look at that. They're Schmitz. Not you.
Not me.
if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Halo, you get to try Halo for free. Now, Halo is always free, but there's some paid and premium features.
Yeah.
So if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Halo, you could try out all the premium features, see if it's for you. But really, it's the number one Catholic app for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are not Mike Schmitz, but you are, you know, you're all right, right?
Thank you.
Now, a lot of the reason that you're, you know,
not solid six. A lot of the reasons why you're not him.
I'm cool with a five, man.
Look, you're a solid six or seven, right? Okay.
But if it were a two,
but if it were,
if it weren't for Ave Maria University,
that's it. That is Ave Maria right. Took a two, turned him into a seven.
I was probably a negative one before I went to Ave Maria. But you know, when I went to Ave, I was built up in the Catholic tradition. You know, when you consider the motto, you know, Veritatis Splendor, like the splendor of truth. For me, as a young Catholic attending that school undergrad, I really came to encounter the truth in the person of Jesus Christ and the traditions of the faith. And from my classes on doctrine to scripture to just a liberal arts education, I mean, it was really life-changing. I went to two colleges prior to, you know, transferring to Ave Maria, and there is absolutely no comparison when it comes to quality of education and community. And by far, what they offer now is even far superior than what I had, you know, 13 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, people hear Ave Maria and they think, oh, that's a great, you know, it's Catholic school and you're going to go there and your kids are going to pray. But there's a lot more to it. I mean, it's a great university, right? Mm-hmm. They have, you know, biology, business, chemistry. Law. They have nursing. They have law. They have, you know, they have over 40 degrees. I mean, it's a really awesome education in an environment where your children are going to flourish both spiritually, intellectually, and as a human, right? That they're going to learn how to learn. They're going to learn how to be successful in life. Mm-hmm. In a great, beautiful campus.
With the Perpetual Adoration Chapel, where you can encounter Christ in the Blessed Sacrament 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there are people praying in that community all day, every day. And to be a part of something like that is very special, right? And it's very unique.
But I mean, where else can you go and study marine biology in undergrad in business administration, then also have a 24-hour adoration chapel where the average temperature is 78 degrees and it's beautiful and you're 20 minutes from the beach in Naples. I mean, it is a confluence of so many perfect things that you look for in a college. So if you or someone you know and love is looking to consider a university, go to avemaria.edu. You can sign up for their Ave experience. They have online or in-person visits, and you can go and find out why this is probably the school for you. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And then again, if your kid is a clunker and a two, you can turn
there's
into
hope.
A, there's hope.
There's hope.
Right? There's hope. Okay. There you go.
Poster boy.
Poster boy. Sorry, Ave Maria. We
we need to find somebody better.
Can't you just give Schmitz like an honorary degree?
That's great.
It's also shout out Father Mike Schmitz. We keep up. You know,
oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
For sure. He's a great guy. We just, you know, it's a running joke.
It's fun.
Okay. So another thing that every Catholic should have is a missal, right? Mm. And again, this goes back to the doing of what we were talking about. You know, a missal is something that really will help you tie you to the liturgical life of the church and give you kind of daily nourishment, right? Mm-hmm. So if Hallow is giving you that daily call to prayer and a resource for prayer, a missal ties you into the life and the flow of the year of the church.
And there's applications out there that can certainly help you. Laudate, you've got iBreviary. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think a book's better personally, having a physical.
No, but you know, sometimes, I mean, I use that a lot because I'm on the run.
Yeah.
And something that I find to be most convenient, because I have the traditional MTS missal, you know, it's big.
Explain what a missal is.
So a missal is essentially where you could follow the entirety of the Mass from readings to Eucharistic prayer and from beginning to end. And it gives you also prayers before Mass, prayers after Mass, and it gives you all of the saints' calendar. So, you know, in the proper of the saints, you have options to celebrate those saints throughout the liturgical calendar, and you have all of those feast days all in one book.
It's like the rubrics of the groom for a layperson.
Yeah, it's tremendously valuable to have that missal. Something that I personally love, and a lot of my parishioners use it as well, a greater majority of them, specifically for daily Mass. I have over, you know, 115 or so people that come to daily Mass, and the Magnificat is a wonderful resource, and they send it out. And they have, you know, saints of the day, and they really kind of guide you through the full mass. They have the Eucharistic prayers. They have everything. They have Latin references, too. So if your church, you know, says the Latin prayers of the Sanctus or the Agnus Dei, or, you know, even if they say the Our Father in Latin, it's all in there, you know, and it's the Novus Ordo, and it celebrates it and publishes just such an outstanding resource.
Yeah, this is great. The index of meditations talks about different saints.
And it does like a morning and evening prayer. It's not the Liturgy of the Hours. That is the highest way, you know, the greatest way of participating in the prayer of the church is the Liturgy of the Hours. But certainly if you're looking for a subscription that can essentially do the same thing as having like a traditional missal, the Magnificat is an option.
That's what I was just going to ask you. What is the Magnificat in relation to that?
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
And yeah, it's just a shorter version.
It's a shorter version, and it's very, very easy to carry on your person. Like I could literally slide this in my pocket and go for a hike, and I can reflect on the readings for the day and not have to use my phone where I could be distracted with emails or text messages.
Yeah, and you don't
want to
use your phone during mass either.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I've been praying prayer, you know, at churches where I'm traveling or something with my phone, and they're like, "Father, using your phone in church?" I'm like, I'm praying. Thank you very much.
Some lady yelled at me one time in mass, like, "Put your phone down." And I'm like, I'm just following the readings because I don't understand this lady. You know, like, that's all I'm doing. I'm sorry.
Okay, another thing, and the last thing that a Catholic should have, and this is a really good practice to get into, is wearing a holy medal of your patron saint. Your patron saint, a lot of times, oh, yeah, that's my patron saint. Okay, and that's it. That's the end of the relationship. It's important to develop and cultivate a relationship with your patron saint, right? My patron saint is St. George, right? Mm-hmm. And I wear a medal of him every single day and seek his intercession and try to live to his example of bravery, of fortitude, of, you know, slaying dragons. Can I get the slaying dragon song?
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. I was a bit of a bum when I got confirmed. I think they confirmed me just to get me out of this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Resurrection Catholic Church.
Yeah, exactly. Putting up with
and your poor catechist.
What is her name? Dolores? I can't remember her name. God bless
Dolores,
her.
That would be perfect. The sorrows. Dolores. the sorrows of her life.
I think mine's St. Anthony, but can I just kind of make my own up?
Of course.
You can. I can just take one. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be St. Homo Bonus. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. We did a show on him.
Right.
You know, and it's true. I mean, I am so tied to Saint Faustina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tied. But I've never like professed.
You didn't know her.
Yeah. Like I didn't know her at the point of my confirmation. Mm-hmm. You know, but Saint Valentine is my, you know, as a missionary of mercy of the Holy Father, like they identified my confirmation name, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, but
Is your confirmation name on your confirmation certificate?
Yes.
It is?
It should be.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that stuff.
See, Ryan, that's why we have this list.
I know.
Just follow the list, dude.
I am.
Good. I'm glad. That's why we put it together.
Thanks.
Anthony.
And one of those medals, I actually wear this on my person every day, but it's the Miraculous Medal, and it's the one that my grandfather wore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my great-grandfather's from Ireland. It's over 100-something years old.
Don't let me take care of it.
but I carry that with, because that's my Irish side. You know, and this is literally from Ireland, which is just like really, really cool. But, you know, having these religious medals and these patrons, you know, for a long time, I mean, I wore all of my patrons around
my... Yeah,
man,
you're looking like a Catholic Mr. T.
Absolutely.
Got like 75 on, you know. I used to do that, too. I've pared it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my crucifix, St. Benedict medal, and my patron saint, right? St. George. But my confirmation saint, St. John, obviously I have a devotion to him. But pick a saint, you know.
So you could just pick a saint right now.
Right now.
Like me, which I'm going to do.
Right.
All right. And we'd go with it. So get the medal.
Yep. Although St. Anthony,
tattoo,
St. Anthony is a great one. I don't know why St. Anthony.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know if I picked him or not.
Well, it's your middle name.
It's already tied to you. Yeah. Like Joseph for me. Like I'm already immensely devoted to Joseph. It's my middle name.
Yeah.
And that's important. Like St. Richard, St. Joseph, St. Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, that's your name. That's the name God will call you by, right? And going after and finding and having a devotion to those names is very important.
And when you think, I have called you by name, there is meaning, purposed for name.
And I lose a lot of stuff. So it kind of makes sense that St. Anthony is my patron saint.
St. Anthony's awesome. If you look at his life and you really learn about him, he'll set you on fire. I mean, St. Anthony was the miracle worker, right? Yeah, and his devotion to the Christ child and everything. Yeah. Astounding.
He comes through in a clutch, and he is certainly rad. Ryan Anthony Delacroix.
Rad. Not to be confused with the gross 80s.
Rad.
Yeah.
No, not to be confused.
Yeah.
Now, last thing that everyone should have, and this is very important, is if you're watching this, now before I get to that last one, if you're watching this, it is not hard to click like on this video. It is not hard to click share, and it's not hard to subscribe. We're giving you all this great information. We're giving you this list that may save your life. Just click subscribe. That's your end of the deal, right?
I mean, and share
I'm going to do it.
Right?
Yeah, because this has been very helpful for me.
There you go.
I think I'm going to subscribe.
So subscribe. Good.
Now, there are many things out there in the Catholic tradition. There are so many things that we could really, you know, take hold of and use as a tool. Right, to grow in personal holiness and to celebrate the faith that is so communal. And we hope that this did help you out. And certainly it's a joy to be able to provide this ministry to you. Before we go, know of our prayers. May God bless you and enrich you through these sacramentals and through these most beautiful instruments that God uses to perfect our humanity and to perfect our communion. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Amen.